Don't open your heart to just anything. Be careful what you are opening yourself up to.
Life is a journey, and as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
Let us be careful. The Bible says, guard your heart, keep it with all diligence. In other words, don't become lazy about it. You have to be very careful. It is work. Keep your heart. Remember, it controls your prayer. So you must be serious about this. It controls so many things in your life. Keep your heart. Keep your heart. Let's go to Mama Eve, the first woman, Genesis chapter 3. The Bible says that Satan comes in the form of the serpent, and then they start having conversation. Now, please, lift your head and look at me. Suppose this is the perimeter of the Garden of Eden. Eve and Adam have been going through that garden. Have they seen the tree of life before? Yes. Have they seen the tree of the knowledge of good and evil before? Yes. Have they seen it only one time? No. They have seen it so many times until Satan shows up and he points them to something. Let's read it. I don't want to jump it. Now the serpent was more subtle and crafty. I'm reading Genesis 3, verse 1. More crafty than any living creature of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he, Satan, said to the woman, can it really be that God has said, you shall not eat from every tree of the garden? And the woman says to the serpent, we may eat the fruit from the trees of the garden, except the fruit from the tree, which is in the middle of the garden. You see, she could even give you the location of the tree that tells you she's seen the tree before. God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. What is the serpent doing? He presents information. You will not surely what? Okay. You know how sometimes we receive information and we don't believe it, and then there's a follow-up. That's what Satan does here. He does not only give the information, but he follows the information with a picture. Next verse. Verse 5. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. And you will be like God. Knowing the difference between good and evil. Blessing and calamity. And when Eve saw. What did she see? She's been seeing this tree all the time, all these years. What is it that she saw that is different from what she's been seeing? Because Satan painted a picture. Some of us, we are in love with pictures. We are in love with models. You're destroying over your marriage over a picture. Why is the place that quiet? It's sinking. And the woman saw. Everybody say, and she saw. She saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and also desirable to gain wisdom. She took some, ate it. She also gave some to her husband. Our wives, be careful what you drag us along into. You really take us far. In the name of love, we'll be embracing it. Only to find out later we just disobeyed God. In the name, that is why I said, if your spouse has an enemy, don't go along. Because you don't know what you have been dragged into. Holy Ghost, help me. She saw. Everybody say she saw. But she's been seeing this tree all this while. Why is this particular saw seeing? Forgive my grammar. Why is this particular saw or seeing so different? Because the devil has painted a picture. Oh, that fruit that you thought is nothing? Is the very one thing God is trying to hide. You will become just like God. After all, you were created in his image. I'm playing the devil's advocate. So she takes it. And then comes over and says, hello, darling. How are you doing today? How was your walk in the garden? I've been looking all over for you. When Satan came, where was Adam? Adam wasn't asleep. Adam, it's only God who put Adam to sleep. Guys, don't allow your wife to become the only prayer warrior in the home. I have been wondering for years. I've still not had an answer. Where was Adam in the garden that Satan... And please, remember, I've taught you this before. In God's organogram means his... If God was an organization and you follow the organizational chart, it is God, the man, the woman, before angelic beings. They are lower than us. So if Satan was going to trip up Adam... He couldn't just jump the woman. He has to go to the next one, his immediate stuff. He has to go deal with the woman. He couldn't go to the man. He had to deal with her. And he got her. And after he got her, she went to get the next one. Be careful. Satan has got a long-term strategy. His focus was Adam. Because when the words were spoken, it was spoken to Adam. So to get Adam to disobey, he goes through the next line. And then she goes with, I love you, baby. Let us be careful. Are you seeing the process? So for Eve, it was not just information. It was information. It was an image. But also it was an experience. Because after she ate it, she said, this stuff is good. I just look like God. And told the husband to take it. And the Bible says as soon as he takes it, the one who received the instruction from God, that's when Eve realizes, I need you to pay attention. When Eve eats it, she still doesn't see it. Until the one who was given the instruction by God eats it, then all of a sudden, they both realize they are what? Naked. Let's remind ourselves. How does things get into our heart? You must accept it and what? Believe it. You must hear it over and over. You must see that image over and that experience over and this is why you must take God's word and take it in over and so if you find me this year, come to teach something, and the next week I bring the same thing, don't shut me down. I'm trying to get it into your heart. You often hear Christians, today we are going to receive a fresh word. What have you done with the last one? Don't be in a rush. I'm telling you, sometimes I wrestle with one verse for 2 years. To understand what it's saying. Because if something is in my heart, it's in my heart. You can cut my head off. The thing is in my heart. There is a process. Don't go and pray. Father, I pray. I bind the demons from my mother's village who are making sure I don't get this word inside. Keep repeating it. It will go on its own. Don't need fasting. Don't need no prayer. It will go. It's a process. It will end up there. Are you learning anything today? Okay, now let's look at brother Judas Iscariot. And I want you to read with me very carefully, because you will begin to see a picture of most New Testament saints in this dude. When Jesus took Judas, did Judas have it in his mind to betray Jesus? The answer is no. John chapter 12. Go there with me and let's examine something. John chapter 12. Let's read the first 6 verses. I've been reading all those scriptures from the Amplified Bible. So 6 days before the Passover. Please notice, the scriptures doesn't say things anyhow. He said how many days before the Passover? So he actually betrayed Jesus on the day of the Passover. So it means 6 days before he actually did it, the thing was not in his heart. But it took 6 days to cook it, for him to do it. So sometimes some things are not 6 days. Sometimes some can be very quick in a day or two. But most of the time it takes a while. It gets cooked slowly. And it gets into your heart. And once it gets there, you realize that you don't have any stops. Have you ever looked at a spouse or someone or a child or a friend and said, I can't believe they did that? Anybody? Oh, come on. Don't be lingering on by myself. Yeah. Have you ever said that? Because you assume this person is not capable of that. No. I told you the other day, we have the instincts of being murderous on the inside. Once you allow something from the exterior to activate it, you will murder. That is why you need to lay in God's presence. This is why prayer should not become about things. I still believe this, and I'll say it again, that the highest mandate of prayer is transformation. You lay in his presence and God transforms your heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. In fact, it was Paul who said, we all, beholding the face of the Lord as in the glass, we are transformed. So when we gather at one night with a king, don't ask me questions like, how do we want to spend 10 hours? What exactly are we asking God? It is because your understanding of prayer is wrong. You think it's about things. It is about the transformation of your heart. 6 days before the Passover feast, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had died, whom he had been raised from the dead. So they made him a supper. Martha served, but Lazarus was the one of those sitting at the table. Wow. Verse 3, Mary took a pound of ointment of pure liquid nard, a rare perfume. That was very expensive, and she poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. And the whole house was filled with fragrance. That's what worship ought to do. There has to be a fragrance that does not just fill the house of a building, but this house. That if you worship properly, it must fill this house. We're not preaching about that. Verse 4. But Judas Iscariot. You know, have you realized that anytime Judas's name is mentioned in the Bible, they mention the full name? But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was about to betray him, said, now this part of the scripture is foreshadowing, okay? Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii, a year's wage for an ordinary workman, and the money given to the poor? Now, what he said, what is wrong with it? There's nothing wrong with it. This is why your head can be deceptive. Because your heart. The next verse tells us, put up verse 6. What does it say? Now he did not say this because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And having the bag, the money box, So Jesus had church members who stole money. Come on. Am I right? Yeah, if you steal money, I'll forgive you one time. It happens two, I'll forgive you. Third one, I'll give it to FBI. It never happens here. I'm always blessed with the people who are so honest. I remember this year, just before we sent out the tax information, and they had done reconciliation and some things where you have to call the bank, do all kinds of things, and we're going through all the receipts for everything, and it took days for that to be completed. And I just sat there and I said, wow, Lord, I thank you for those you have given me. I think it's a good place to clap for them. And they see me do it too. Sometimes people will send $5 to the church electronically and they'll make a mistake and send it to me. But I will make sure they get the $5. I could have simply said, it's on my phone anyway. No. I'll be opening my heart to something much bigger. But it starts with $5. So he said it's not because he cared, but because the Bible says he was a thief. In other words, he was a pretender. That means the heart was not pure. Are you hearing me? But Jesus said, let her alone. It was intended that she should keep it for the time of my preparation for burial. She has kept it that she might have it for the time of my embalming. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. What has happened? There is an experience. Jesus has rebuked his financial secretary publicly. Sometimes some of you will receive a rebuke from me as a pastor. Be careful where that rebuke takes you. Because that's all that happened here. Now, has Jesus rebuked somebody before? Yes. You remember how many times he rebuked Peter? To the point that he called him, get thee behind me, Satan. Did Peter allow that thing to get into his heart? No. So it is not what takes place. It's not the experiences of our lives. It is whether we are accepting it and believing it and playing it over and over, and it occupies us, and before we realize, the enemy has taken over. Guard your heart. I said, guard your heart. It is not a thing coming at you. It is the heart that needs to be guarded. And sometimes there are things we simply just need to ignore. I have cases where sometimes people go, oh, Pastor, can you pray for me? And once they kneel and my hands is going, then I begin to remember all the crazy stuff I know they have said. Okay, now, what would be your advice for me? Steve, what would be your advice for me? I should ask you. The person is already kneeling, and my hands is already there. And you can tell that they are in the throes of difficulty. That moment, they are looking at you. This is the man of God in my life. Declare something to happen. And I have to learn how to shift my head immediately and say, Lord, grant me an open heart to bless this one. When we go and we come back, because we will come back, the Bible says there will be a new heaven and a new earth. You are not staying in heaven. We will come back on earth. Because the scripture says heaven belongs to the Lord, but the earth he has given to the children of men. So this whole idea that we are bound for heaven, it's a lie. No, you go temporarily, but you're coming back to earth. When we come back, I don't want to be a pastor. But it's rewarding. Because had I not been, I don't know what I would be. Engineer, doctor. Actually, I wanted to fly planes. I really wanted to fly planes so bad. That's why I like jets. But Jesus said, let it alone. So Jesus rebukes this guy. There is an experience, and the experience introduces something into his heart. Be careful the things you are experiencing. You must be careful not to accept them, not believe them. Because sometimes somebody may say something about you and it's not true about you. And if it is true about you, you accept it, you believe it, and you repent, and you move on. Are you guys understanding me? All right, now let's go to the next verse. So Jesus speaks. Look at chapter 13, verse 2. Everybody read with me. So it was during supper. Satan had already put the thought of betraying Jesus in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son. Now they did not even mention his full name. They added his papa's name. Did you guys just see that? Satan has already what? So Satan does not put stuff into people's hearts that have not already been what? Opened. Jesus rebukes him. Jesus, you got to be kidding me, man. It's me, Judas. I carry the bag. I am your financial secretary. How can you disgrace me publicly? The heart is opened. And Satan begins to put the thoughts there. A pastor once called me and he was trying to tell me about his encounter with one of our church members and was telling me to be careful of the person. So when he started the conversation and he got to a point, I said, Pastor, hold on a second. So I flipped the phone as if I was taking a call. And I didn't take a call and I hanged him. Later on, he called me and said, the phone hung. I said, because it's not a conversation I want to have, because you're changing the way I look at this church member of mine. If behind closed doors they are cooking their own thing, you will fall into your own ditch. I am not somebody to mess with. No child of God can be messed with, including you. Nobody can mess with you and go scot-free. Nobody. Are you understanding me? So don't spend all your energy, because if you are not careful, you will become just the same way they are. Because after you listen to all that, your whole mind is destroyed. So Peter heard Jesus rebuke him. Satan could not sow a seed into Peter's heart. But as soon as Judas starts saying, he thinks I'm a thief. The truth is, you are a thief. And he believes it. So Satan comes in and he put the thoughts. Now go with me. We are still in chapter 13. Go to verse 26 and 27. Jesus answered, it is the one to whom, you know, they were sitting at a table. Remember, 6 days before, the guy had never thought about betraying Jesus. 6 days before. But as soon as Jesus speaks, the thing gets stirred up. Right? So they are sitting at the table. Somebody asked Jesus, who is it that will betray you? Guess who asked the question? Peter. Jesus answered, it is one to whom I am going to give this morsel of food after I dipped it. So when he has dipped the morsel of bread into the dish, he gave it to Judas, Simon Iscariot's son. Verse 27. Then, after he had taken the bit of food, Satan entered into and took possession of Judas. Jesus said to him, what you are going to do, do it more swiftly than you seem to intend and make it quick. In other words, Jesus said, listen, your heart is full of this stuff, so just get it over with. I want you to see the progression, an experience. Stirs up something. He opens his heart. Satan puts the thoughts. And then now Satan actually enters. So the guy who was a friend of Jesus now becomes a betrayer of Jesus. The interesting part is that God has worked it in such a way that later on people repent. But by the time he repent, he couldn't deal with it. So he killed himself. You remember Ahithophel? When Absalom didn't take his advice, the Bible says he got on his horse, ran home, and he hung himself. Whenever you open your heart up to the enemy, you will be destroyed. So today, I want you to turn to the person sitting next to you. Tell them, you got to guard your heart. Let's read the last verse. Look at the last verse, 30. Read with me, shall we? Go. So after receiving the bit of bread, he went out immediately, and it was night. Jesus rebukes him. He has an experience. His heart is opened up, accepts, believes it. This guy, he's got to die. I just don't get it. He gets preoccupied with it. And then the Pharisees and the others come in. Hey, we want the dude. Would you help us? He agrees. And the Bible says Satan put thoughts in there. And once Satan enters him, he brings with him darkness. Look at that verse. He says, and it was night. Not night as in physical night, but it was night in his heart. It was night in there. Don't open your heart to just anything. Be careful what you are opening yourself up to. The images you are hiding in a corner watching. There was a pastor who once told me that I was very proud. And I told him, this is why I am still a believer. And this is why Jesus died, so he should pray for me. And I closed my eyes and asked him to pray. I said, please, lay your hand over my head and ask the Lord to help me with my pride. You know what his issue was? Because he wanted to talk about another pastor and I was not willing to listen. I told him, just pray for me so I will get better by listening. But I ain't listening to something about somebody else, because you're just going to destroy my heart for that person. Can you see how sometimes people look so good? And just because of one thing, one image, one statement, one word, some experience, I cannot believe that they saw me in church and they didn't want to talk to me. One experience. So on your way home, Satan says, you saw the pastor and his wife. They didn't talk to you. Hey, they don't like you. They don't. Did you even see how Pastor Neil was standing there? People, what is it? The things I'm carrying is way too much for me to come worry about that. One experience, and it turns everything around. When you start allowing the thoughts to linger, ask yourself, who put it there? Because the devil has a right to put thoughts in your mind. You all remember Acts chapter 5. You remember Ananias and Sapphira? In Acts chapter 4, what happened? There is a guy called Levi, Joseph and Levi, right? And Joseph was the one the apostles named what? Barnabas. The Bible says everybody was selling their property, bringing it over. Barnabas sold his property and he brought it over. So as soon as they brought it, Pastor Neil gave him a special name, Barnabas, son of encouragement. I'm bringing it into our contest here. So Ananias and Sapphira are sitting there. Ananias said, did you see that? Sapphira said, yeah, I did. It's coming, you know. The time is now that we need to be recognized too. But the scripture says, for theirs, something was not right with it. Why? Because their hearts. Please, let us check the heart. Is it okay if you look at the person? I'm closing. Look at the person sitting next to you. And tell them, please check the heart. Because as soon as darkness descends on you, you will do things that you would wonder.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.